Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Proverbs 28 and verse 20. He's good.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So faithful. Now, it's important that you know how I do things around here. I joke around about a website called sermons.com. I guess there actually is one. I don't get my material from sermons.com. I don't do any, many, miny, mo on a list of topics or just kind of go through the Bible and stop. We follow the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What does that mean? What are you talking about? Well, I don't come up to preach and say anything until God gives me something to
Amen.
Say.
Amen.
And so I wait on Him and I seek Him. And He gives me what to share. Sometimes it's well in advance. Sometimes it's the day of, you know. There's been times I haven't got anything till I was on my way here, you know, and didn't do anything different. Didn't eat anything different. Fasted, prayed the same way, you know. But sometimes I think He does it just to get me to trust Him more. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we're going to hear from the Holy Ghost tonight.
Hallelujah.
And tomorrow He gave me a different message for South Dayton. And said, I don't know why He does that, but I just know this. There's different people in different services that need different things. So let's find out what He's got to say. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for the Word tonight.
Amen.
Lord, we're so blessed to be gathered around Your holy Word. Now, Father, we didn't come to hear from a man. We didn't come to get man's plans or man's ideas. We came to hear from heaven. So, Father, I thank You as I open my mouth this evening. Words from heaven will flow. Father, I thank You I'll hit bullseyes in people's hearts. I'll say what needs to be said. Lord, we're going to do what needs to be done here. Father, I will speak as the oracles of God tonight. Father, I will speak with utterance and with boldness. And Father, I thank You. You'll get the praise. You'll get the glory for it, Father. Thank You for helping us tonight. Lord, Your Word is meant to bring increase. So we thank You for it now. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, Proverbs 28, verse 20, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. I don't even need to go to the rest of it because that's what we're focused on tonight. But it says a faithful man will abound with blessings. Well, if you want to know how to abound with blessings, there's your recipe.
Amen.
Now, when it's talking about blessings, it's talking about blessings from heaven, from Him. So I want blessings from God. It tells you how to get them. A faithful man will abound in blessings. Unfortunately, a lot of people in the body of Christ don't qualify to abound in blessings because they're not faithful, right? Well, I just want the blessings part. Well, you got to have the faithful part with it. A faithful man will abound with blessings. Faithfulness leads to blessing, or you could say it this way, faithfulness in something will lead to increase in whatever you're being faithful in, right? I mean, I just want to establish this. It's very obvious. But back when I played baseball in high school, it was the one thing I excelled at, you know. I didn't come out of the womb very good at many things, but that one was easy for me. It just always was easy for me, and hitting and taking grounders, and the more I practiced it, the better I got, you know. Anything else in life, pretty much a big fat failure. But baseball, I did well, you know, growing up and everything. And I know this, that the more I gave myself to it in the batting cage, the more I gave myself to, you know, at nighttime until the lights went out, you know, having Dad hit me ground balls and things, I excelled. I was faithful to practice, and it led to increase of that area. You know, you think about people that go to the gym, you know. If you're faithful to eat right, you're faithful to work out, you'll see increase. You'll see blessings. But just the same way that you can have faithfulness towards the wrong things and yield increase in the wrong things. You can be a very faithful fast food eater. You'd be very faithful at it. I'm talking every day. That's going to lead to some increase.
Yeah.
Right? You can be very, very faithful to not show up at your job on time. You can be faithful to be late, and it'll lead to some things, right? Well, we want faithfulness in the good way. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I want to help you with that tonight. Towards faithfulness and the right things. But what are we talking about? Because being faithful in grounders and batting cages and shooting my bow, that leads to increase, but not the increase that like God can give. not the blessings that flow from Him. I'm not interested in man's increase. I want God's increase on my life. Because God can increase me unlike any of you can, unlike any job can, unlike any natural thing can. And the same goes for you. God is your increase. But to get His increase, we have to be faithful in the right things. And I want to tell you what I'm talking about tonight. But first, I want to establish something. Go to Philippians 2 and verse 19. Talking about faithful. Philippians 2 and verse 19. Praise God. I love the Holy Ghost. You know, I'll just be honest. This is one of our biggest turnouts we've had in a little while. And it's amazing because some of the things we're going to hit on today is going to touch on a whole lot of things. And it seems like the Holy Ghost just knew. Praise God. I didn't call all of you and ask if you're going to be here tonight. None of you got a phone call from me today asking, did I? You know, check it up on you, find out who's going to be there, who's going to be here to hear this. No, Lord knew. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "But I trust in the Lord." This is Paul talking to the church at Philippi. He says, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you." Now look, he said, "I'm trusting God to send you Timothy. That I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." Now notice this, he says, "For I have no man that's like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Now, what does this have to do with faithfulness? Well, I'm getting to it, but he says, Paul's saying, "I'm going to send Timothy to you because I don't have anybody else that will care for you." Well, caring for somebody's state is not a one-time thing. It's an over and over and over again. So what Paul's really saying is, "I have nobody to be faithful to carry this out for you." And we'll see that he's talking about Timothy's faithfulness, because he says here, he says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." So he's saying everybody else is the, he used the word seeking. Now, when you seek, that also denotes an intensity. Over and over and over again. Right now, we know this, that it's talking about over and over again, because he says, "But you know the proof of him, Timothy, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send you presently." So he says, there's two types of people he's talking about. The ones that he has no one that will care for them, but then this other one who I'm going to send to you because he's proven he'll do what he's supposed to do. He's been faithful. But the word he used was the word seek. Now, why do I say that? Because Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 tells us something. Because I want to tell you what to be faithful in tonight to get the blessings of God. Matthew 6, 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." It says to seek. Well, he said those people back there, he says, they're seeking their own things. What's he saying? They're constantly being what? Faithful in the wrong things. He says, "But Timothy served with me. He's constantly been faithful in the right things." They don't seek the right things, but Timothy seeks the right things. Or you can interchange the word and say, Timothy's been faithful in the right things. Well, he says here, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think he's talking about a one-time thing on a Friday from 2 to 3? No. This is a recipe for your life. What's he saying? Seek first the kingdom of God. Or you could interchange it this way. Be faithful in the things of God or the kingdom of God. Be faithful with the things of the kingdom of God. Or you could say it this way. And be faithful in His righteousness, or be faithful with His way of doing and being right. And look at the result. All these things will be added to you. Well, that sounds exactly like Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound or increase. Well, we could say this, when you're seeking God, we're not talking about just a Saturday night from 6 to 8 o'clock. No, he wants you to seek Him, put Him first when you leave here. He wants you to be faithful with that tomorrow morning when you wake up. He wants you to be faithful with that in the upcoming week. So he's saying the same thing, just in different language here. Be faithful, because when you say, okay, Pastor Mike, we're not talking about being faithful at the gym. That yields, the Bible says this, that bodily exercise, it profits a little, but not like spiritual exercise. And a lot of times people have things backwards. We're so naturally minded. And that's what Paul said about those people. They care for their own stuff. But Timothy, he's interested in the things of God. Well, the people that are interested in the things of God don't lack. It doesn't. They don't miss out, is what I'm trying to say. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound in blessing. Well, I can be faithful in grounders and abound in blessings of being a good infielder. A faithful man in the batting cage will abound at being a good hitter. I can be faithful there and abound in that, but that's not really doing much for me. Or I can be faithful in the things of God and His things and His way of doing right and know that addition's coming from Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, being increased from Him, like I said earlier, the Bible says every good and perfect gift, James chapter 1 and verse 17, comes from above. God is a giver of good and perfect things. Anybody need some more good and perfect things in their life? I'll take it. If you don't want it, I'll take yours. Praise God. I will. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like when I go out to eat with my family, you know, and I'm always watching their plate. To see when they surrender. Because if they don't want it, I'll take it. But I don't want to take it until they don't want it. But I'm always just watching, you know. As soon as they surrender that fork, man, I'll take it. If you don't want it, I'll take it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about being faithful to things of God. Well, there's a lot of things of God. But I want to narrow it down here tonight to what the Holy Ghost is telling us. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, let's just pull that up in the Amplified right away. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Because if you'll be faithful, the Bible tells you faithfulness will cause you to abound. And the Bible said in Matthew 6, if you'll be faithful with the things of God, you'll increase. Praise the Lord. So then, brethren, consecrated and set apart for God, who share in the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confessed as ours when we embraced the Christian faith. See how faithful he was to him who appointed him, apostle and high priest. Jesus was faithful. Now notice this, and I was going to talk about a man. As Moses was also faithful, remember, the faithfulness causes blessing. When you're faithful in the things of God, when I'm faithful to ground balls, God's not giving me that increase. Amen? When I'm faithful to shoot my bow, God's not giving me that increase to shoot better. Yeah. But I want supernatural increase on my life. Amen. Supernatural blessing. Well, that comes from Him. I got to be faithful in His stuff. And it says that Moses was faithful in the whole house of God. Skip down to verse 5, if you would, in the same Amplified. And Moses certainly was faithful. Now, I'll just have to tell you this. Moses did some things for God. Yeah. Moses is one of the top five, I think, heavy hitters in all the Bible. Yeah. God used him to deliver His people. The Bible said there was no man as meek or as humble as Moses in the whole earth. He wasn't a perfect man, but who is? Yeah. But he did some things for God. And one of the characteristics we see of him in being so blessed. And Moses certainly, I love that, certainly was faithful in the administration of all God's house. So what are we talking about tonight? We're going to talk about being faithful in the house of God. Amen? And the Lord gave me three things. Are you ready? Say, well, I'm not ready. Well, then you're not ready for your blessing. Because He said, if you'll be faithful. Remember what He said. And see, what's interesting about Matthew 6:33 is He says, be faithful in the things of God, which are spiritual, but the result will be increase in the natural realm. Didn't He say that? He said, seek first, be faithful in the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which is His way of doing and being right, and all these things will be added to you. Well, they must be talking about some things there. And if you go back and look in that context, they're natural things. Yeah. What are we talking about? Money, jobs, homes, vehicles, lands, increase, health. And there's spiritual things too, but faithfulness in the spiritual things will lead to blessing in the natural. But see, people have it backwards. They're chasing the natural. That's what Paul said about those guys. That they're all after their own things, but Timothy's got it straight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faithfulness in the house of God, just like Moses was. Well, evidently, in the three things that the Lord showed me, in context within the house of God, if we're faithful in these areas, Proverbs 28:20, Matthew 6:33 says, we'll be increased. So let's find out what they are. Are you ready? Amen. Number one, drum roll please. All right, we got the drum roll going. We're good. Faithfulness to show up.
Amen.
Faithfulness to show up. You're going to see the word here tonight. If you'll be faithful to show up, it'll lead to increase that nothing else that you're showing up to can bring you.
Yeah.
Like God can.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can bring you what God can bring you. Psalms chapter 92 and verse 13. Psalms chapter 92 and verse 13. Praise God. I've heard this before. Then start doing it. Praise God. Start being faithful to it. Lord's just trying to help you. Now remember, anytime the Holy Ghost gives stuff, even though it might rub you the wrong way, even though it might step on your toes, it's not to hurt you. It's not to make your life worse. And ladies and gentlemen, one thing that will help you if you get this revelation in your heart, it's not the things you're doing right that are hurting you. We don't need to stand up here and talk about all the things you're doing right. This is where we get our help. I always call it like spiritual boot camp. You know, you go to boot camp, you're not sitting there being told how wonderful you are.
Yeah.
Why? You've got to get trained. Things got to get put in you because there's a battle coming.
Yeah.
Praise God. Well, it's these things we're doing wrong that the devil's taking advantage of us on. So when the Holy Ghost points these out, don't you dare get mad at me. I've told you, I do not chase my mail lady down and beat the tar out of her. You know, the mailman shows up and I take him out at the knees. Because I didn't want that bill, you know. And he says, listen, man, I'm sorry. National Fuel made me bring it. The government made me bring it. So I beat him up, you know. Don't beat me up. And don't beat God up. God's good and he's your blesser. Let me just say this. This is a revelation for somebody. Your pastor and your God are not your problem. I'm not your issue. He's not your issue. The devil's your issue. Your lack of faithfulness might be your issue. You're not doing the word about your issue, but your pastor is never your issue. God is never your issue. I'll tell you what, there is, some people don't submit to the gift of the pastor. They never get to receive fully from it. But there's nobody, I'm telling you right now, that you want in your corner more than me. Natural, I'm just telling you the truth. You don't know what I'll do for you and go to the lengths that I'll go for you to bless you and help you. And it makes to see you fulfill the plan of God. And the main reason is because I got to stand before Jesus. Amen. Your pastor's not your problem. Some people need to know that. See, Moses, he led them across the Red Sea. He was their deliverer. And then they encountered a trial and test. And what did they do? Started blaming Moses. Moses wasn't their problem. He was their answer. God, they started blaming God. God wasn't their problem. He was their answer. Praise God. So I'm saying, as you get your toe stepped on tonight, big whoop-de-doo. Deal with it. Praise God. Make the adjustments. But faithfulness to show up. Psalms 92:13 says, those that be planted, not potted. Potted plants can bounce around, move them around. And you know what? Usually the potted plants don't last as long as something that gets planted in the ground. I know oak trees can last 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years planted. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Well, what does that mean, planted in the house of our God? Well, the main thing about saying you is to say you have church, to say I have a church and to not show up is just as good as not having a church. What does it mean to be planted in the house of the Lord? When the door is open, you're there. Does that mean you can never miss? No, don't twist my words. But a consistency to be planted, a consistency to be there. Now, why would that lead to blessing? Because I know lots of places. I mean, I have family members. They are so faithful to go to the church. And I don't see no change in their lives. No, it's not just showing up at the church that caused you to be blessed. It's what happens within the walls of a certain church, if you'll be planted there, is what makes all the difference in the world. Now, the Bible says, I won't take time to turn there, we've looked at it many times, I want to get to a point here. In Matthew 9, why would going to the house of God be planted there? It says, they that be planted, they're going to flourish. You know what that's called? Increase. And then it actually goes on to say in verse 14, they who, the ones that are planted, shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat, not talking about the scale, talking about increased in life, and flourishing. Well, what about coming inside a building with drywall and wood and carpet and things? What would cause a person to be faithful to increase? Are you ready? It's where your pastor is. Say, wait a minute, you're the reason for my increase? No, let me get there. What is a true pastor? There's a lot of people I know that have pastors not increasing. When it's all working the way it's supposed to work, it leads to increase. What is the way it's supposed to work? There's a house we can come together. But in that house, there's a shepherd. And Jesus said, without a shepherd, you are scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But what's a shepherd to do? Jesus told the shepherd Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep, 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 feed my sheep. So why are people blessed when they're planted? Because there's a feeding taking place. And when people are consistently missing their feeding, it will show up in certain areas of your life. Just like people that are consistently faithful to be in their feedings, it'll show up in their life as well. Now don't you start getting in your head and all huffy and puffy about your life and why don't try to be a justifier. In fact, you ought to have a heart like your pastor had. When he got called up the night before in a meeting in Canada for being desperate financially, and I was at the time, and I went up with another pastor from Kansas, and Dr. Dufresne laid hands on me and prophesied some things over my life, and I fell out, and he laid hands on me for an anointing to increase. And the next morning at the morning service in Canada, I was sitting on the front row. That means everyone can see me. And Pastor Nancy Dufresne preaches a message about how if you're desperate financially, exactly what Dr. Dufresne said the night before, the only reason you're desperate is because you're not thinking right. And she stood right in front of me for about 90 to 95% of that message. And one time she said, the reason you're desperate for finances is because you don't think right. And she looked right at me. You talk about a reason to get huffy and puffy. Well, but you don't understand, but this and that, but this and that. Stop trying to take your situation and trump what the Word says. If the Bible says to be faithful to be planted, to have a pastor, to hear the Word of God, and your life doesn't line up like it, that's your problem, not his. Go back to verse 13, please. They that be planted in the house of the Lord, if it's convenient for the season of life that they're in. They that be planted in the house of the Lord, if it just seems to work out that day. No. That's the problem of how many people live, and it's not faithfulness. It's an inconsistency. You know what? Yeah. It's just the truth. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. I'm going to tell you why this is. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Praise His name forevermore. God's trying to increase you tonight. Again, you think this is what I want to preach? Think it's my idea? No, it's not my idea. Faithfulness came up in my heart and I prayed it out. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Yeah, you have a pastor that actually prays. Go figure. Amen. I wouldn't sit around eating Cheetos all day. If I did, you'd probably see it on my fingers or in the corner of my mouth because I'm kind of messy. But you don't see any orange, do you? No orange up here. No Cheeto day. It says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Well, who are they? Ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now look at what Paul says in verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered. Well, is he talking about the garden? No. He's talking about I planted with the word. I watered with the word. But then look what happened. God gave the increase. But notice, increase didn't come without first anointed men or women of God watering or sowing the word. Why don't they just get their increase on their own at home in front of their TV with their Bible and their Jesus? Because there's an anointing that God puts on people that brings you something that you can't get on your own. I can't get it on my own. I couldn't get it on my own. I needed somebody. I'm going to guarantee you the majority of the stuff you know about God, you didn't learn it on your own. The majority of the faith blessings you've walked into, the healing you walked into, the things for your children, you didn't figure that out on your own. An anointed man or woman of God stood up in front of you and told you the word. You were watered with the word. Your mind was renewed and things changed for you. That's exactly what happened. He said, God gave the increase. You take away the planting and the watering, you take away the increase. Why? Well, look what it says in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. Well, for those of you that don't know what that means, that means you're God's garden. How does God cause His garden to grow? He waters and sows on that garden. Well, what's He sow in the garden? Well, if you go back to Mark chapter 4, which we won't, He talks about the Word of God being sown by the sower. The sower sows the Word. It falls on four types of people, right? And three of the four don't do anything with the Word, but the fourth does the right thing with the Word. And what does the Bible say? It causes fruit to come forth, 30, 60, to 100. What is that? Change and increase. Supernatural increase comes when somebody that's anointed sows the word in your life. Listen, you're not blessed. You're not saved from dejection, harassment, bewilderment, distressment, scattered in faintness because you say, I have a shepherd. Saying I have a shepherd doesn't spare you from all that. When you get in the Word and hear the pastor preach the message week after week, watering after watering, the Word is supernatural. It's a supernatural seed that causes increase. But so many people go weeks and weeks and weeks, or they'll go 1 week and then 6 weeks and then another 5 weeks, and they're not getting the Word and they wonder, where's the supernatural increase? It's the truth. It's the truth. Praise God. See, if people had a revelation, if people had a revelation of what the word sown in their life would do. See, we have a revelation of a lot of things. We have a revelation of the old paycheck. Don't we? And we don't have to just, I mean, we're talking about one night a week, twice a month on Tuesdays for an hour, hour and a half. And people can't be faithful to that on a consistent basis, but every morning they'll wake up and they'll get up early and get ready and they'll go spend 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours at a job. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Why? They have a revelation of something. Paycheck. But we have such a lack of revelation that church, well, it's okay if my kids aren't under the word. Well, it's okay if we don't hear the word. We have such a lack of revelation of what the Word could do for us that it's optional. And if it fits into our schedule, if it's convenient, try that with your job. You know why you won't? Because you have a revelation of the paycheck. Not truth. Oh, we'll send our kids to school and make them go to school and make sure they're being trained hours a day in the things of education and math and science and all these things. And we'll make sure they're there and they're getting it. Why? We have a revelation of some things. But when it comes to church, it's optional if our kids are in church. You just don't understand what the Word can do for their lives. I've seen little kids. I remember this was years ago. These kids were, I mean, they were unruly children. And I told the mom and dad, I said, if you'll just be faithful to put them under the watering of the Word, so they're not going to understand a thing I say. You know, Abby isn't grasping a lot of what I say in her mind. But her little spirit is. And I've seen dramatic turnarounds in people that just were faithful to put their kids in the house of God. And things start turning around. Why? Supernatural watering. Supernatural watering leads to supernatural increase. Some of you need some supernatural increase. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. We We could just spend the whole night on this. We won't, but we could. Romans 1 and verse 11. Well, I could do this on my own. That's not what Jesus said. Romans 1 and verse 11. Paul said this, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end that you'd be established." What's he saying? Unless there's this impartation, you won't be established. And this impartation doesn't happen over live stream. Can you get an impartation over live stream? Yes, you can. But not when you substitute it for the real thing. Because this is the corporate anointing. This is how God said to do it, praise God. Go to Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Praise God. Faithfulness to show up. If I could get, it's amazing. I tell people from the get-go, if I can just get you to be faithful to come to church, you watch what will happen to your life just by being faithful to be in a seat. The changes that will come in your family, the changes that will come in your life. Just be faithful, and people can't do that. And it breaks my heart because they don't have a revelation. Hebrews 10:25. Go to Amplified in that, Kim Lai. Just, I like how it brings it out more clearly. It says, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together. The Bible tells us to get together. As believers, now notice this, as is the habit. What's that? What's a habit? Faithfulness. Just faithfulness in the wrong thing. You have faith, you have good habits, bad habits. What's that mean? You're just faithful in good or bad. It says some people are very faithful at forsaking coming to church. Isn't that what it's saying? Don't forsake or neglect to assemble together as believers, as the habit of some people, but admonish, warning, urging, encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully. What's he saying? Come to church all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? As the day gets closer to Jesus coming back, he says, be in church more. You want to know why? Because it's going to get darker and darker out there, but it's going to get brighter and brighter in here. And he said, this is where you're going to want to be. This is where your family's going to want to be. This is where you're going to want to be. Because I said, he said, if you'll plant, said, I don't care what the economy's doing. I don't care what the rumors are doing. I don't care what the world's doing. If you'll plant in my house, flourishing will be what happens. And as it gets darker out there, people are going to flock to places like this. And you just watch. Because we ain't going to fluff it up around here. Fluff might taste good, but it's not good for you. Not good for your teeth. Not good for your blood. You know, the sugar levels and stuff. They say sugar's bad. That's what they're telling us. Sugar's bad. I just got to tune that out this time of year. Sugar bad. Boom, boom. No, don't tell me that. That's true. Fluff doesn't do anything good for you. It might taste good. And I'll tell you what fluff doesn't do. It doesn't change lives. It doesn't change lives. And people are flocking right now to the fluff places because it makes their fleshy flesh feel good. But if you sow to the flesh, you have the flesh reap destruction. When the destruction starts coming, this ain't working too well. I need a change. Well, the word's your change, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll say, I got to finish even though it's a little longer. Matthew 25:14. Actually, we're not going to go there for time's sake. I'm just going to tell you the story. It's a story of when the man that handed out the talents. Remember, he gave five talents to one. He gave three talents to another and gave one. And he said, and they came back, you know, and after he gave them the money to invest it, and one made five, made more, one that invested three, made more, and one that had the one, what did he do? He just hit it in the ground and returned it. And what was his master happy with that? No. He said, you wicked and slothful servant. He told the other ones, you've been faithful. He gave them something precious, and they took it, and they increased. What's this have to do with this? You know, a lot of people in the body of Christ are like the one talent person when it comes to showing up.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Wow. Do you understand how good you have it that God dropped this church in your backyard? You say, I didn't say Pastor Mike. I said, drop this church. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, bragging about the family churches? No. It's not the name of the church that separates us from anything. It's the Word of God. And you know the reports I keep getting? Is that there's nothing like it around here. That's what people keep telling me. That when it comes to preach about miracles, signs, and wonders, people aren't getting it. When it comes to the things of the Holy Ghost and preach in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and things, people aren't getting it. Well, that's just the Bible. And God drops this place in your lap that will radically change every single area of your life. But we don't understand, we don't realize it, and so we're like the one with the one talent, and we're like, eh, and you don't get any increase out of it. And then there's other people, it's amazing, I love watching it. There's people that have been with me for years, and if I've seen any growth in them, I can't tell. And then there'll be people that have been with me for 2-3 months, and they are hungry. And things start getting turned and moved and changed. Why? They placed a priority and a value on this place. I know people's lives right now that would look different if they would just be faithful to recognize what God's put here, come, submit, praise God, hear the word, apply the word, life would be different. It's true. Because God's faithful. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So number one is faithful to show up. Are you ready, number two? I mean, we thought we stirred the pot with number one. Wait till number two. Go to Luke 16 and verse 10. Luke 16 and verse 10. Remember, faithful man will abound in blessings. Faithful in the things of God will lead to increase like you can't get anywhere else. God's a blesser like no one else is. Luke 16, 10. I'll just let the cat out of the bag right now. Faithful to show up. We're talking about, remember, because Moses was faithful in the house of God. Are you faithful to give? Sounds like a game show. Are you faithful to give? Is that a thing, Pastor Mike? Oh. You don't realize your unfaithfulness with your money. What it opens the door to. So you're just trying to scare money out of our pockets. No, I'm just here to tell you the truth. Amen. Amen. Luke 16, 10. You say, really, faithfulness? He that is faithful in that which is least, the Bible says will be faithful in that which is much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. So now he's talking about in verse 10 the context of least and much. Well, in verse 11 he puts titles to least and much. He says, if therefore, he says, now based on what I just said, if therefore, then, if you know this principle, if therefore you know that if you're faithful in the least, you'll be faithful in the much. If you're unjust in the least, you'll be unjust in the much. If therefore you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, that's money. He says, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So the context of verse 10 is least and much. The context in verse 11, of following verse 10, is true riches and money. You let me ask you, or I'll ask you this question, which one do you think fits the least category, and which one do you think fits the most, the much category? True riches, money, least and much. I'm guessing the much is the true riches, and the least is money. God calls money and faithfulness and money the least of what you can be faithful in. Yet it seems to be sometimes the most unfaithful that people are in. Why? Where your treasure is, your heart is. And you don't want to part with that. Oh, man. And he says, if you can't be faithful with money, it's going to hinder you from receiving greater things. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. You pick. You pick what's going to be your Lord. Oh, you want Him to come through for you when your kids are down and out. Oh, you want Him to come through for you when the symptoms are in your body. Oh, Lord, help me. Well, why don't you turn to that money? That's who you've made Lord. That's who you're worshiping. You know, Urkel, he used to say, did I do that? That's how I just thought. Did I just say that? I did. Not taking it back either because it's true. You have no idea. Faithfulness in finances. What it can lead to and what it can hurt, can cause in your life to come to pass. You say, really, does... Well, Pastor Mike, you know, with my third point, we'll ask the same question. Does it really matter if I give or not? What if everybody had your attitude? No, let's ask you that. You that will not tithe and will not give, what if everybody? Because if you value number one, number two is important to you because number two keeps number one going. There's a mortgage payment on this place. There's an electric bill on this place. There's a heating bill on this place. We're called to do things in this place. What if everybody, I'm serious, ask yourself that question. What if everybody had the flippant attitude like you do? Well, I'm not going to tithe. Well, if everybody doesn't tithe, you know what? That precious thing that God dropped in your lap is going bye-bye. It's the truth. It's the truth. Well, that doesn't include me. Well, I hope everybody doesn't take that attitude. No, but you like the benefits this place will give you. Yep. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Man, oh man. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Now look at this. Does God expect His people to provide for the house? Well, let's just ask a logical question. Who else is going to do it? Oh, I love my church. Pastor Mike, you preach the word like I've never heard before. I'm growing so much. Oh, yeah, if you really like this place, you really love this place, where you love, your money goes. Yeah. Lord, I give you my heart, but with my wallet I won't part. That's what people should say. You don't give God your heart. Your heart's with your money. That's what Matthew 6:21 says. Where your treasure is, your heart can be found also. Somebody else will do it. Man, thank God everybody will have your attitude. Furthermore, David, the king, said to the congregation, notice who he's talking to, people. Solomon, my son. Yeah, I'll say this just because I'm not trying to brag, but it'll tie in later in this point. It'll tie in with this. The Bible calls me to be an example. We moved into our building after the storefront, which is our old sanctuary now in our fellowship hall. We moved into that, and for some reason the finances went shoop. We lost two of our biggest givers, got offended. People just stopped giving because it was summertime. And Pastor Mike, this is a true story, and I'll bring this up later because it'll help you understand some things, took every penny of the salary that he finally got after 2 years and put it right back in the church. So how'd you pay your bills? Put every single thing I had on a credit card. See, we think, and I kept it going for as long as I could with everybody else's, but people got on board, thank God, finally. I'd have done that until I couldn't do it anymore, until every credit card was maxed. That's how much I love the house of God. But my point is, eventually, that would have come to an end. I would be able to do that. And if everybody just had that idea, do you know how many people in South Dayton will say their lives are different because of that place? Their lives are changed because of that place? Well, you can't pay the bills, door shut. It's the truth. We're family. Can't we talk about family things? Amen. He says to the congregation, Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. He says, I want to be an example. That's what I'm telling you. I'm being an example like David was. David's not bragging here. I'm not bragging to tell you that. I hated to have to be in that position. But see, yeah, well, just remind me to say something in a second. He says, I've prepared with my own might for the house of my God, the gold for the things of gold. He goes on to talk about, he says, God's house needs to be built. Well, sinners ain't dropping it off, and God's not growing trees with money on it, right? That's what they say, money don't grow on trees. I found out they don't. Money doesn't grow on trees. And God's not funneling, raining money out of heaven. He's not doing that. So God says, build the temple. David says, my job is to get this temple going. Well, if we're going to get the temple going, I got to provide for the temple. He says, so this is what I'm going to do. And he did it. And then he says, in verse 5, he talks about all the things. Now, first of all, I'll go to verse 3. He says, moreover, because I set my affection to the house of my God, I've done this. He said, my heart was with the place, and because my heart's with the place, the money went with it. Don't tell me you love Pastor Mike, and you love the church, and you love the Word of God, and you love Family Church Allegheny, and yet you're withholding your giving because Jesus said your heart is where your money is. Oh, my heart's with you, Pastor Mike. No, it's not. I didn't say this, Jesus did. You take it up with the Master. And he said, because, verse 3, all verse 3 is the Old Testament version of Matthew 6:21, which says where your heart is, your treasure is. He says, because my affection is at the house of God, my stuff goes with it. Some people are going to have a sad day when they stand before Jesus and realize the dollar bill came before Him. Woo! Woo-wee. It ain't going to be me, I'll tell you that much. Well, anyways, he gets down to verse 5. He's talking about all the things he gets, and then the end of verse 5, he says, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service to stand to the Lord?" What's he saying? We want to get this thing built and built right? We need all of you. And then look at the people did. Wow. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribe of Israel and the captains of thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God. Praise God. And then look what it says in verse 9. Then the people rejoice, for they offered willingly. And guess what? The temple got built. God's will was done. Uh-oh, it happened. Oh, it happened again. You know what happened, right? The holy hush set in. It's a phenomenon. You talk about people's children, and you talk about people's money, and it creeps right through the cracks of the back door. And it sets over this place. And it just comes and people get quiet. Why? Because you're stepping on toes. Yeah, it's true. Oh, I'm going to thank you. Thank you for the permission. I'm going to keep doing it. But I appreciate it. I appreciate that hunger. Keep stepping because I want people blessed. I want people blessed. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Praise God. Now remember, this isn't just for the church. He said, if you'll be faithful to do the things of God, you will increase. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. This was not a suggestion. This was not optional. Oh God, bless my children. Oh God, bless my body. But I'm going to rob from you. So backwards, and there's so much deception. So much deception that would cause people to do this. He says, prove me now here that the Lord of hosts. He says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there's meat in my house. What's he saying? How are we going to get meat in the house? People. The provision. Praise God. Well, what is the meat in the house? The upkeep. Think about this. You're very faithful to provide for your own home. You'll do renovations. You'll do additions. You'll make sure all the bills of that house are paid. Oh, yeah, I got to make sure mine's taken care of. That's what Paul was saying about those guys. I don't have anyone that looks after Jesus' stuff. Think about all the people Paul knew, and he said, I have nobody that's like-minded as me. That's what he's saying. Except Timothy, all the rest of them are after their own stuff and don't seek that which is Christ. They're not interested in the Word. They're not interested in doing it God's way. But you're interested in making sure you get your addition and your new carpet and the paint on your walls and your updated bathroom and your bills paid. Don't look at me that way. You smile at me right now. Praise God. It's true. It's true. It's so true. We're so interested in our stuff, in our stuff, in our stuff. And God's, well, if I can get to it. Okay, that's the way. That's what you want to reap, you go ahead. I am to be an example. David was, I'm going to be. I have not missed a tithe on an increase since the year 2002. 100% across the board have never, and I can't lie from this pulpit, I refuse. I have never, not saying I wasn't tempted, I have never missed a tithe. Someone hands me a $10 bill, one's going right to the church. Every single time. I opened my Bible tonight and there was a $20 bill sitting there. I don't know when it was in there because I don't ever look in this Bible except when I preach. I have Bibles that I study from at home. I leave this in my bag and it's what I preach from. So I didn't see it since Wednesday. So sometime from Wednesday to now, if it was tonight or Wednesday, I don't know. Someone put a $20 bill in my Bible. As soon as I see that, you know what Pastor Mike's thought is? Two goes to the house of God. That's how I live my life. That's how my kids live their life. Yeah, haven't missed a tithe. And how many years is that since 2002? Almost 18, it'd be 18 years in January. Wow. 18 years. Even when it was the toughest of the tough. You know, I've mentioned this the last couple of times I've preached because I've never said it before, but when Pastor Mike was in his $2,000 short every month trial, you talk about, I still don't know any of you that are $2,000 short a month. I still have yet to encounter anybody that's $2,000 short a month, yet I see people stop tithing when they're $500 short, $400 short, or $700, $800 short. We're not going to tithe anymore. It's so naturally dumb to stop doing the word. I'm $2,000 short every month of the bills that are on my desk and all the extra stuff. Well, we only have one paycheck, it was Court's. When hers comes in, with that money that comes in, that wasn't after we subtracted the tithe, with that money that comes in, we're $2,000 short. It goes even higher into the negative when we take the tithe out of that. And we never didn't do it one time, did it every single time. Why? I would rather not rob from the one that saved me. Say, is it robbing God? That's what the word says. Will a man rob God? See, we just justify things. Well, it's not really robbing. No, he said it was. He said it was. And you want God to bless your children. You want God to bless your body and bless this. And your whole sick, stick them up, Lord. Stick them up. So backwards. I would rather eat just white bread. The generic white bread. Have no electricity. And have my family. You say, oh, Pastor Mike, that's not true. No. I already told you some of the lengths that I've gone to for the house of God. The truth. I would rather obey God. That's like that woman in 1 Kings 17. Elijah said, obey me in that giving. Obey God's word in that giving. It was the most horrible situation she could ever be in. And Elijah said, obey God. Obey God. And she did, and it turned her whole life around. But you just go ahead and keep listening to those nasty lying thoughts of the devil, and I'll keep doing the word, praise God. Go with me to Matthew 6 and verse 1. I just want you to increase. Faithfulness in the things of God. What's that? Provide for the house of God. You're part of this church. God is looking at you. He won't force you to do it. He's looking at you to provide for this place. If people would start faithfully tithing, we'd pay this thing off quicker. Matthew 6, verse 1. I want to show you something about being blessed in your giving. Take heed that you do not do your alms or giving before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms or when you're in giving mode, don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may also have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do alms or when you give, let not your left hand know what your right hand's doing. What's it saying? Be that secretive about it. That your alms may be in secret, and that your Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward you in secret. Nope. He says the reward on your life for being a giver is going to be seen. I've had people criticize, oh, Pastor Mikey, why is he so blessed? Why does he drive a truck like that? Why is he blank, 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 fill in the blanks? Oh, I've had it. Well, the Bible says, if you're a giver, it's going to show up in the natural. That's what he said. Now, I want to tell you a story real quick here. Praise God. See, because here's what you don't see. You can't see the sowing in secret. And so when God rewards openly, what do people get? They criticize. But I'm here to tell you, doing the word financially will cause open rewards in the natural in your life. Things to look at and say, they're blessed. Yeah, amen. The truth. He said, I'll reward you openly. People are going to see it. Yeah. People are going to see that you're blessed. Well, didn't Malachi chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12 said, and all nations of the earth shall call you blessed. They'll look at you and say, they're blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I heard a story of a minister. He's very wealthy, and he gets criticized for it all the time. I mean, TV shows, other Christians. I saw a story one time on Yahoo News. I clicked on the comments, and I could not believe. I just wanted to see what the Christians were saying. The nastiness coming out of Christians' mouth about this minister, because that minister's going to be judged before God for all the stuff that they had. Well, they should probably take it up with God first, because Job was the richest man on planet Earth. Devil took everything, and God didn't just make Job the richest man on planet Earth. He doubled him. That's the truth. Well, this minister is blessed, and people criticize him for it. But see, what they don't see is the behind-the-scenes stuff. The Bible says, give and it'll be given unto you. Is that a rule or not? That's a spiritual law. And he says, With what measure you give, it'll be given back to you. So if the measure that you're secretly giving in is big, guess what? The measure is going to come back to you. Big. And they criticize him. And I heard a story about him and I loved it. There was a woman in one of the churches that he was visiting who he got wind of this. Her husband had died. And he had owned an airplane. Well, now when he's gone in the business, she doesn't have the income coming in, so she's got to downsize and start liquidating stuff and selling things. So one of the biggest expenses is the airplane that he owned. So she's like, I'm going to sell this airplane. Well, this minister got wind of it, thought, I'd like that airplane. That would be a blessing. So the minister got in contact with her, and the minister found out her situation, that she's selling it. She's got a heap of debt and all this stuff after her husband died. And so the minister is going to be a blessing. And he says to the lady, he says, I'm interested in an airplane. Sits down, talks to her, and he says, how much do you need for that airplane? And she said, well, this is the debt I have, and or not this, not this is what the debt I have. She said, this is what the airplane's worth, and so this is what I'd sell it for. Now, she has a heap of things, and the selling of the airplane for the cost of what it's worth is only going to put a little dent in her. It's not going to pay everything off. Is what I'm trying to say. He asks her, what do you need for it? She says, well, it's worth such and such. I'll sell it for this. He said, no, you don't understand. No, that's not what I asked you. He said to her, I think this went on 3 or 4 times, what do you need for this airplane? She said, well, it's worth such and such. He said, lady, I'm not asking you what it's worth. I'm asking you what you need for this airplane. What he's saying is, what can I give you that's not only going to take care of the airplane, but it's going to take care of every single one of your debts. Finally, the light bulb goes off and she says, this is what I need. And she gave him the exact number of all her debts. He pulled out his checkbook right there, wrote her a check and said, there you go. Thank you for the airplane. Now, my point is this. You know what all people see? It's him with a little airplane. Another airplane. Mr. Airplane Preacher. We don't care if the rock stars have their own private jets. We don't care if the rock stars get to drive around nice things. I mean, that's just normal, the movie stars. But God's people, you know, we just like to hammer them, man. Praise God. It's like most people say about the minister. Lord, you keep them humble, we'll keep them poor. That's the way people are. That's the truth, the mentality of the body of Christ. Now, they see an airplane. What is he? All that blessing? If you pay off somebody's debt and sow a seed of almost $1 million, well, in the natural, if I sow 10 acres of corn seed and I sow 10 million acres of corn seed, what's going to yield the biggest increase? If he's sowing $1 million and the Bible says the measure you give, it's coming back to you, guess what he's going to reap in? It's the truth. Amen. And see, people are fast to criticize. I've had people criticize me and say, money, mind. I say, yeah, but where were you when so-and-so was going through something? And behind the scenes sowed into their life, or the church was going through something, or there was a building project. And I'm selling some of my most prized possessions when I'm at the Jamestown Church to just put money into the building fund. Nobody sees that stuff, but God does. And it goes into the ground. See, a consistent, I'll say it this way because we're talking about faithfulness, a faithful giver, you know what that turns into? A consistent receiver. Yeah. Pastor Mike Anderson, to give you an example, is constantly reaping all the time. But Pastor Mike Anderson is constantly sowing seed all the time. Think about it naturally. Think about this now. If in Western New York, the growing season, if it was 12 months out of the year, if you could just plant and reap all the time, we know you can't, but let's just say you could. This month is December. If you went out the first week of December and planted something in a field, and then went out in the second week of December and planted in a field, and then went out in the third week of December and planted in a field, and then went out in the fourth week of December and planted in a field, and then went out in the first week of January and planted in a field, and the second week of January, and on and on and on. Eventually, the stuff you planted in the first week of December is going to come up for harvest. And then this, and then you're going to receive something, but then you're going to go down the line more. And then the stuff in the second week of December. And you get into this cycle because faithful giving leads to consistent receiving. You get in a cycle, and it's a fun one to be in. All the time things are coming in, but all the time things are going out. You can't just be, the Bible says, he that waters will be watered. Amen. Now, it's already 7:30. I'm going to get this last one done in 5 minutes. Say, that'll be a miracle. I know. But we're believing for miracles, so let's believe for a miracle. Hallelujah. You need to be faithful to show up. You need to be faithful to tithe and give into this place. If you had a revelation of this place, you would. It'll just lead to your blessing. Every year, we look at our giving report. We say, wait a minute. How'd that happen? How do we give that much? I'm just telling you the truth. And what happens is God's calculator is different than your calculator. His calculator's got a supernatural button on it. And when you don't do it God's way, you miss out on that supernatural button being pressed. Number three, and this is, I'm just going to go through this in 5 minutes. You watch, I'm going to do it. Faithful in the house of God, Moses was. Faithful to show up, to get your watering, to grow, to increase. Faithful to give, which leads to increase. But what about faithful to serve in the house of God? Now, here we go. We might as well finish with a bang. We have three ladies that do nursery. And about two or three people that do the sound every single week. I look around, I see more people here. Amen. Now we have people that do other things besides sound, that they're coming and cleaning. What if everybody's attitude was, I'm not going to do nursery, someone else will do it. What if everybody had that attitude? Somebody's kids wouldn't get taken care of during church. What if the attitude was, I'm not going to clean. Oh, but you like when there's clean toilets when you come here. You like that church smells good and looks good when you come in here. You like that. You wouldn't want to come into a mess and sit in dirt and filth. But someone else will take care of that. What if everybody had that mentality? It's wrong. This is like a family. This is the meal right now. But when there's stuff going on in a home, there's more than just the cooking and preparing the meal. There's the cleaning. There's the cleaning up. There's all sorts of things to keep in order in a house. And so many people, for some reason, think it's beyond them. They come, they get fed, they're hungry, they get life-changing things, but I'm not going to serve in the house. It's so wrong. It's wrong. What thinking gives us the right to come and be fed in a home? Naturally, you wouldn't stand for that in your own house. Don't you make your kids do stuff? Don't you make your kids serve and be faithful to do things? I was a mooch growing up. What did that mean? I didn't do anything around the house. That's why I had a lot of the issues I had with my stepdad. He was a hard worker. I wasn't. He'd work all day. You know, I'd have a snow day. He'd come home and the driveway still wasn't shoveled. And I did all day, what, play video games, sit around, do nothing. Lay around, watch Price is Right. So love the Price is Right. I did. I love that show. Plinko, man. They had Plinko on. It was like that made my week. I love Plinko. And anyways, I'd do nothing. You know, he'd come home. He's working hard. You know, mom works a job all day, comes home, makes a wonderful dinner. And then come dishes time and pick up the table. Pastor Mike's got stomach cramps, needs to go to the bathroom. You know what I'm talking about. Get out of doing things. Someone else will do that. We look at a natural person like that, we say, well, what's wrong with that person? They're not helping around the house. Like, my kids are not allowed to not work at home. No. We work hard and they have to do things. You're not just going to leave your junk laying around. You're going to have things to do. Caleb found out today, as you get older, you're going to have more things to do, and he didn't like the sounds of that. He said, what? What do you mean? Oh, you wait, buddy. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to bring increase to your life and say, how will that bring increase to my life? Well, what does it say in Matthew 23 and verse 11? I still got 3 minutes. Matthew 23 and verse 11. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just saying, I want you to increase. And this is what the Holy Ghost said, being faithful in the house of God. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You know who the great ones are? The ones that are on their hands and knees cleaning the toilet that you go sit on. when nobody sees it, and are cleaning up the filth in those bathrooms. After kids go in and tear it up, yeah, that happens. Kids go in and tear it up, you know. And someone else has to come along. People serving in nursery so you don't have to. So you can be out here and hear the Word of God, take care of your kids. But, nah, I'm not going to do the nursery. I like the clean church, but I'm not going to clean. We like having ushers that will sit out in the hall, make sure the exits and everything, and we're safe and things, but I'm not going to do that. Jesus got down on his hands and knees and washed feet to be an example. The King of Kings laid his life down and was brutally, horrifically killed because he was a servant. He said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. If anybody had the right to get out of serving, it was Jesus. Are you better than Jesus? What mentality do we have? Isaiah 1:19. Praise God Almighty. Isaiah 1:19. I love my church. I love my church. Do you? I love my church. I love my church. I love the word I'm getting. I love it. I love it. I love it. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. What is it that you're unwilling to do around here? Don't be so quiet. You're giving me a complex. Willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Well, I'm not doing the nursery. Oh, so you're unwilling. Well, I'm not. Sounds not for me. I'm not going to clean. Someone else will do it. I'm just trying to lead you into the good of the land.
Amen.
Listen, whether you do or don't, whether you give or don't, there's always going to be the faithful people that will pick up the slack. And they'll get blessed for it, praise God. And we'll close with this, Hebrews 6:10. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to preach this tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. Although tomorrow's not going to be fun for some people either. To your flesh, your spirit man loves it.
Amen.
When Pastor Mike was sitting in the front row getting absolutely lambasted by Pastor Nancy Dufresne, you know what my attitude was? Thank you, Jesus. I need this. Yes, Lord. Yes, bring it on. Go ahead. Look at me the whole time. Don't move. Just stay right here, Pastor Nancy. I need this. I need this. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I want increase. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. What work and labor of love? That you've showed towards His name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. You know what nursery workers are doing? Ministering to the saints. You know what the sound workers are doing? Ministering to the saints. You know what the ushers are doing? Ministering to the saints. You know what the cleaners during the week when nobody's around, what they're doing? They're ministering to the saints. You know what the children's church people that are preparing messages and going buying stuff and getting everything ready so your kids can learn about God? You know what they're doing? Ministering to the saints. And the Bible says, listen up, you ones that are ministering to the saints. God is not unrighteous to forget. He sees it all. And He will reward you for being a blessing. Yes, He will. You just keep right on being a blessing. I don't need accolades from men. I don't need accolades from my pastor. And it's a good thing because my pastor don't hand them out very much. My pastor is not as sweet as your pastor is. Naturally, he's just not. Just the makeup of the man. He's anointed as all get out and he's a blessing. But just the makeup of a man. I'm way more compassionate and sweet than he is. And I don't get accolades. I don't get text messages. I don't get phone calls. Ever. Don't need them. You know why? God sees it all. He's my promoter. He's my rewarder, praise God. So those of you that are here slaving and cleaning those toilets, who cares if people don't recognize you? God knows it. Taking care of people's kids in the nursery, well, do they even care? Who cares if they even care or are thankful or not? God sees it. That's the truth. And your pastor appreciates it, just so you know. Well, faithful man will abound in blessings. Lord said, be faithful in the house of God. Faithful to show up, faithful to give, and faithful to serve. We got homework to do. Praise God. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're so grateful for a place that will tell us the way it is. And not, I mean, Lord, what would happen if no one gave, if no one served? We wouldn't have church. We wouldn't have church. There'd be no church anymore. There'd be no place to come and hear the word. But Father, I thank you for those that are faithful. And Lord, I believe people are coming up higher around here. I believe people are going to lay down their pride. They're going to lay down their own wants. And they're going to sell out to this place. And Lord, you said if we put you first, increase would come. So Father, I thank you for increasing the people. You're faithful. You're faithful, Lord. We thank you, Lord. That's what you'll do. Father, that's what you'll do. I thank you for increasing the people, Father. Lord, may everyone have a revelation to serve. May everyone have a revelation to give. May everyone have a revelation of that there may be some things in their life they have to make adjustments. I'm not talking, I mean, I think about it since 2002, Lord. I've missed a handful of services, never because there's just other things more important, never because I just was lazy, had my priorities out of order. No, it was either emergency, vacation, sicknesses, things like that, Father. You're first always, Lord. It's paid off in my life, and I just want people to get that so bad. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that my fruit would remain, that these things would be branded and ingrained in their heart, and that adjustments would be made, pride would be let down, and people would sell out to this place. And, Father, they'll see the blessings. They'll see it come to their life because you're faithful to reward, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Everybody, even people listening online now or in the future, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? I mean, ask yourself that question because that day's coming. And hopefully not for a long time, but that day's coming if Jesus doesn't come back before your life ends. If today were my last day on planet Earth, the answer is, yep, I go to heaven 100%. So how do you know? Because I followed the instructions that God gave me to get there. He said, if I believe in Jesus and receive Jesus, I would not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor Mike, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And if that's you, and don't leave here tonight being unsure. You're not making a commitment to the church. You're not saying, I want to be a member of the church. You're just saying, I believe in Jesus. Heaven's a free gift. You might as well receive it. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here tonight, you've never receive Jesus in your heart. It's not enough just to believe in Him. It's not enough just to be good. It's not enough just to come to church. You have to invite Him. It's a relationship. If you're here and you've never received Jesus into your heart, with heads bowed, eyes closed, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. You want to receive Jesus tonight, would you lift your hand high in the air if you want to make tonight the night? Lift your hand high in the air. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody want to receive Jesus before we close the service? Lift your hand high in the air. I'll tell you to put it right back down. Just between you and God. Nobody's going to embarrass you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. I see that hand. Glory to God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your boldness. Hallelujah. I knew God was working on your heart. That's why I waited. Praise God. Is there anybody else you could say, I've never received Jesus? And that person that raised their hand, if anyone online, I'm not going to embarrass you, so don't worry about that. But to make this, to seal the deal on this transaction, you've got to not only believe, you got to ask Him into your heart. And we'll help you with that. What I mean by that is we'll all pray that together. Your voice is not going to be the only one heard. But I'm going to lead you in a prayer that's going to be inviting Jesus in your heart. And I just ask you to mean it with all your heart. Say it after me. And Jesus will do His part. And this is the beginning of a new day for you. A beginning to a new life for you. Not everybody on the earth has God's help. God is only obligated to His children. Amen. He's not obligated to the devil's children. He loves the devil's children. But God's obligated His children. Once you accept Jesus, you stepped over the line into God's kingdom. So that person that raised their hand, along with everybody else in this church, let's go ahead and say this after Pastor Mike. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you can look up here. Praise God. If you prayed that for the first time, oh, man, you don't even know how good it's going to get. Praise God. Well, let's stand to our feet. Let's praise Him together. Don't be mad at your pastor now. You leave here happy. Lord, we bless you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We thank you for our help. If we're missing it in these areas, it's hurting us. You're trying to get more into us. Father, we thank you for more. We thank you for all the blessings you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. We'll see you Saturday.